of two things can make you healthy and can make you ill. What is the food? That is the food. And if the food keeps people always healthy, you will never see a drive. You will never see death. You will never see someone with cancer, someone. Even if you want to avoid, as they say, this food causes cancer, this food causes cancer, you will have either cancer or something similar to cancer, or at least you will get weak by the age. So food doesn't work. Let me just explain that. The food is the source of strength of man, animal, right? Isn't it? But if you take much of it becomes the opposite. It becomes the poison that kills you. Right? But the beauty is the opposite way. As much you take of it, as much healthy you get. As much healthy you get. So, this shows the necessity of seeking knowledge. And shows that there is no limit for seeking knowledge. You cannot say, now I will stop seeking knowledge because I become somebody who is worthy. You say, no. You will have to continue seek the knowledge. And when we say seek the knowledge, it does not necessarily mean you seek the knowledge of something you don't know. But you will seek the knowledge of something you know. As the Quran, you cannot say, I will not read the Quran after I complete it because I, alhamdulillah, read it, memorized it, and I understand everything in it. Say no. You will still continue reading it because it strengthens your iman. Your iman. And then he said, وَجَعَلَنَا أُمَّتَنَا أُمَّةَ مُحَمَّدْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةً. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran. Where? What did he say? كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه said about this ayah, I swear by Allah that the king of it would not be given to you until you fulfill the beginning of it. تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. تأمرون بالمعروف includes teaching. When you teach, you are doing أمر بالمعروف. And at the same time, you are doing نهي عن المنكر. Because you are teaching the people what is lawful, so they avoid it. What is not lawful, so they don't avoid. So they don't teach them the, what is lawful, so they do it, they commit it. And you teach them what is not lawful, so they avoid it. And also do our ma'ruf and nahy al munkar by advising others, by warning against the wrong, and enjoying the good. And then he said, وَبَعَثَ فِينَا رَسُولًا وَبَعَثَ فِينَا. He sent amongst us. Once the Prophet sent amongst us, and he was the Prophet. But this us means from the first man till the last man. And not necessarily to be from the Arabs. Aslim means every mankind who was alive from the time of Rasulullah was sent until the day of resurrection. What is the proof of that? What he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُ لَا يَسْمَعُ بِأَحَدٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ يهوديا كان او نصرانيا ثم لا يؤمن به الا ادخله الله تعالى. There will be no one of this ummah, whether he is a Jew or Christian. What is this? This ummah, Jew or Christian? This ummah does not mean the Muslim ummah, it means the ummah meaning the whole mankind. And why we said Jew or Christian? What about the Hindus? What about the Buddhists? Or why he mentioned these two particularly? Because they are the ones who are called the people of scripture,
particular book. So the art, Abu Samlite Sidness, but not the other, the Christians, Buddhists, the Hindus, the Atheists, these people are not above any kind of guidance. But the Jew and Christians are still above some guidance, which will sit down by Allah, but they are supposed to follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we said to Umar ibn Khattab, when we saw him one day, he started reading from the Torah. He said, أمتعوكون في عيد الخطار والله لو كان موسى حيا ما وسعه إلى الشباب. Are you screaming in the if he said by Allah, if موسى is alive, he would find no way other than for me. They would find nothing sufficient for him except to follow me. Musa was even if Musa was the messenger, he would still have to follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ وَأَرْسَلْنَاكَ لِلنَّاسِ كَافَّةً. All of them. And then, that was the meaning of minna, from us. So this is not only the Sahaba, whom he was still among us, but he was still among us all. The people from the time he was sent until the devil's action. وَإِذَا كِينَا إِذَا عَيْنَا آيَاتِهِ. He says the ayah, and ayah does not necessarily mean the Quran. The ayah means the proofs and evidences and signs which are in the Quran and in the Hadith, the authentic Hadith. But where is the Kareen? And the command of our thoughts by showing us the truth and the light. But you are living on Kitab al-Hikmah. Here, Al-Kitab is the Quran, and Hikmah means the Sunnah. Not the wisdom, but the Sunnah. There's the wisdom Sunnah here. والصلاة والسلام على من أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين. And this is the one whom Allah Ta'ala sent as a mercy to all the universes. Not only to all mankind. He was sent to all mankind. He was sent once the Prophet ﷺ sent to the animals, no. He was sent to mankind. And that means mankind and jinn. Because there are other evidences support that. But here, rahmatan lil alameen. Why did you say rahmatan lil nas faqat? Because everything is in need for the mercy. And he sallam came to convey, I didn't say to book, but to convey the law that guarantees the life of everyone and everything. And you can see that from, for example, a saying when he said, which is not in the Quran, إِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَةَ وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَةَ وَلِيُرِحَ أَحَدَكُمْ ذِبْحَتَهُ وَلِيُحِدَّ شِفْرَتَهُ. If you kill, you kill in a good way. And if you slaughter, you slaughter in a good way. And if one of you would slaughter an animal, then he should sharpen his knife, go in, and should kill it in a good way, in a proper way, to make it muhkam, to make it not to suffer of the pain. It will suffer, but not much. It's not like when somebody brings a half-sharpened knife and start cutting, this is painless. Or a broken knife and cut, it pains much. Or the person can kill from not the public place. Right? These four are not allowed. How do we know that? from his sunnah. He told us that in his hadith. Right? So it is rahmatan lil alameen. The camel who cried. The bird, the big vision of whatever, what was it? Which came and moving the wings in a way that showed the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he was annoyed. So Isa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, look, the exhibit. As he started, we turn it back. As Isa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about even mankind, he said, if you kill for any legitimate reason, then you kill in a proper way, as he showed us. Right? So, that is the meaning that he was sent as mercy to all, or he was sent to all mankind. And he was the mercy to all universes. Now, he was sent to all mankind, and he was sent as a mercy to all universes. To all universes. Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah said that Allah would not punish them, meaning the general punishment to all. It's a poor Muslim as a child who did disaster as long as you are a Muslim alive. So, for this, and then also there was another reason of security, which is forgiveness, seeking for forgiveness. And after that is what about, we want to stop by the Muqaddimah, because it has a lot of meaning that we need to go through before we get to the chapters of the book. Inshallah Ta'ala, we're going to take some of them in the coming weeks, inshallah. Now, who's going to read the Bulugh al-Maram? The Fuqar. The Fuqar is one of them.
And that is only when you weigh yourself, when you compare yourself to those
27. نعم. ابن حجر الحافظ الكبير الشهير الامام المنفرد بمعرفة الحديث وعلل ابن ازمه الاخيره. He is the Hafiz. الكبير the major one, الشهير the very famous one, الإمام. الإمام usually is the one who leads. That is the إمام of the صلاة, the إمام of the table meaning the ruler, because he is the leader. He is the إمام of the علم الحديث, الفقه الحديث. المنفرد بمعرفة, he is the إمام who is منفرد means he has no one similar to him in علم الحديث. وعلل الحديث. العلل means the defense of hadith. Where you know, this is ضعيف, this is موضوع, this is, you know, why? Why you say it is ضعيف, why it is موضوع? You have to know this defense of علل. في الأزمة الأخيرة, but it is not, يعني absolute like that, but it's only in the latest centuries, meaning from his time and coming to our time. But before him, of sure, there were many. Ka'ab ibn Mahin, Ali ibn Madini, Bukhari, Yamsil, Ahmad ibn Hanbal. They were all mountains of hadith, you know, and ilal. Khatimat al-Hufadhi al-Muhadithin. They say he is the last hadith and the last one who is muhadith. Some others said that Shiyuti is the last hadith. But anyway, Imam Ibn Hajar is يعني one of the major ones, Shaykh al-Islam. Usually they call the person Shaykh al-Islam. First of all, the word Shaykh means old man. Object of Shada, young man. This is not to be used for a person of faith. It does not relate. And when we say Shaykh, it does not necessarily mean who is somebody who has had. Shaykh means old man, but it is used to be given to even a person who is 20 years old or 25 or 30. Is that old? But they call him Sheikh. Why? Because he collected ilm that only can be collected in an age of a Sheikh. In an age of a Sheikh. Maybe he is 20 years old and he has an example. Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, died in the very early age, in the 30s, mid-30s. But see how much ilm he left behind. Imam Ahmad al-Athami, same thing, he died very early. But they call it Imam al-Shaykh. Why? Because he collected ilm that can only be collected in about 80, 90, 100 years of sitting on. How about that in like that? With some kind of his... Shaykh al-Islam. So they call him Shaykh al-Islam. Meaning the one who spent long time in Islam. Shaykh al-Islam. Learning about Islam. Like that. أحمد بن علي بن محمد بن محمد بن علي بن أحمد الشهاب. الشهاب يزيل الشهاب. الشهاب يزيل شيخ الإسلام. They say شهاب to someone who is either has very good face, very good face, white skin or a lot of, you know, or someone who is very strong in speech and in ilm. He called him Shah. So he's like shooting the others. Abul Fadl al-Kinani, Kinani, I mean from Kinana. And Kinani is the people of Egypt. Al-Asqalani, the because he originally from Ashkelon. Ashkelon is in Syria, in Syria, and his father migrated to Egypt, and remained there, and he was in Al-Qahira, in Cairo. Al-Qahiri, that's why it is called, he is called Al-Qahiri. Ash-Shad Al-Qahiri, meaning the Qahiri is the one who lives in Cairo, in Cairo. Al-Shafi'i meaning the one who is up in the Madhab al-Shafi'i. Al-Ma'roof ibn Hajar. He is well known by Ibn Hajar. وهو لقب لبعض أبيه. It's a nickname for one of his fathers. It's not for him. It's one of his fathers, but he's not like Ibn Qayyim. Like Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah is not his father. You know? He was born in the 12th of Sha'ban, year 773 in Egypt. And he was thrown as an orphan in there. He memorized the Quran when he was 9 years old. And then he memorized some other books like a book called Al-Umrah, but it's not about the Umrah. Yeah. عن ألفية الحديث والعراقي الحاوي الصغير مختصر من هذا البوكس. Then he began to return to the علم الحديث. He learned about the أصول. This book at the end of like Nawawi. So he began studying medicine science. But he said that I found my heart become dark. So I left it and it came back to علم الحديث. When my heart is light. Ibn Hajar studied first the other ulum like the usul, the madhab, and then he found it better and his chest was widely open to ilm al-hadith. So he stopped everything and he directed to ilm al-hadith. And he suffered, he turned around, and this is very important for Tulab al-Ilm. Today, Tulab al-Ilm are, very lazy. People who want all the ulama come to them. They want the ulama come to them. Not they go to the ulama. And even, Sheikh Abdullah Abbas, for example, he goes to UK, to Birmingham. And many of those who call themselves Tulab al-Ilm, they don't show up, they don't come. That is not the way of the people of knowledge. Why? Because, he has different opinions on certain issues. Okay, Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, and many others, they call al-Nasa'i, but I give example of al-Nasa'i. Al-Imam, rahimah Allah ta'ala, had a shaykh called Al-Harith ibn Misri. Al-Harith ibn Misri suspected al-Nasa'i as and it's bad for the government. And he had some problem. So he, because the way he dressed, has been mistaken in Egypt, and the Messiah is not from the people of Egypt, his way of dressing to the Egyptians is somehow it is in our submission. So he said, you don't come to my class, go out. And the story did not say this man is arrogant, I don't want to come to him. Like many today, many today say, we don't want to go to the Shaykh. It's tough, it's this, and it's not easy. Ilm does not go to soft men. Soft men is only for action. Ilm means rough men, who can carry big rocks and big loads. This is ilm. Who thinks that ilm is as easy as drinking a cup of water is somebody not living on the earth, is living in somewhere in a bungalow. This is not the end of it. If the end of dunya, medicine, engineering, is difficult for men to see, what about the end which relates to the one who created all this? SubhanAllah. They just find it like that. As the Prophet said, and the hadith. And as Ibn Mas'ud said, and the other, that there will come a time But people just, you know, sit and lean on the side somewhere in the world, and they start thinking about that. Subhanallah. That's not the way. You have to, today I don't see people coming from overseas. See when Jibril alayhi salam in the hadith of Umar, when they came in a poor man of a man that is not known to the people of Medina, and is not traveler. What does that mean? That means you will have to see that. Jibril can come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in different forms. He can come in different forms. Why he did need to come in that, only to show, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said at the end of the hadith, he came to teach you your deen. This is the way how you treat the deen, the knowledge. If you don't travel, if you don't, Jabir ibn Abdullah, a companion, great companion, one of the narrators of hadith, who narrated more of the hadith, he traveled from Medina to Ash-Sham, to Damascus, for one hadith that he yielded from a man who got it from Abdullah ibn Unais, the companion. He said, I must speak from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so I don't want to have it with another liberator. So he traveled for a month alone, hosting all these visits, until he came to Abdullah ibn Unais, and he told him that I came only to hear this hadith from you. So, and many others, Imam al-Bukhari, you don't think that Imam al-Bukhari sat somewhere in the world and he got all this. No. Imam Bukhari, too, he left his town when he was young, 15, something like that. And he did not even give time to read the mail that came to him from his people, from his town. He sent letters, nothing. To inform them of what's happening there, so-and-so died, so-and-so married, so-and-so getting a divorce, dating, but he did not have time to read them. Up until he came back after many years, and then he started reading them, he asked about so-and-so, he died on that day, many years back. So this is the era that people today like to come to the church with the burger in one hand, and take him down there, and inshallah, we in the second I come to the hotel dinner, and we come to the mosque, because in the hotel you can sit on comfortable chairs. Why? Even the auditorium, this is not the way, although it is okay to give them there, but I say, this is not the way of Qadibul Ilm. This is the way of regular Muslim, common Muslim. You give the lecture on that check. But Parliament and what Rasul said, Jibreel, came to Rasul Salaam, said to him, meet to meet. Actually, in the auditorium, there is one or two, 3 meters between, if not more. So this is not a way of seeking knowledge. Yes, it's a way of giving mawidah, shrike, but not of seeking knowledge. They come to the class with no books, with no notebooks, with no pen, they did not read, they did not memorize, they did, subhanAllah, how come they did not have help? How come they? What they memorize? What makes them see? MashaAllah, something suspicious. That is wrong, MashaAllah. And I'm telling you, very soon, you will see that you have no habit. You will have 10 months. Or in Islam, 10 years, we lost 4 imams. 4 imams. In Islam, 10 years. Karim Bas, followed by Albani, followed by Adani, followed by Muqbil. Now, give me one of them. Like one of them. Connect whom you want together to make one of them. SubhanAllah, until when you are waiting. Until when? We have to travel. Imam Abu Zur'a and Imam Abu Hatim walked to collect knowledge from their town and across Alexandria and Egypt, walking till they fell down and entered this case. and whispered them, walking. And we're up to Jabal al-Hamd today. Anyway, he traveled to Al-Sham, Al-Hajjaj. Al-Hajjaj means Mecca, Medina, Yemen, Mecca, and what is between them. And he heard the Asaneer. Today, they find it sufficient to go to someone like Muhammad al-Malik. SubhanAllah. You are in Jidda. You are there in Mecca, Muhammad Adam, Masirullah, Al-Ajlan. What is between you from Jidda to Mecca, Akhi? To the south, it is right from your house to my masjid. Nothing longer than that, and maybe just longer. Because we used to walk around, as I told you, long, long distances. So we have to get the end, and they say, if you get all of your time, all of your strength, all of your health, all of your attention to the end will give you some of it. Some of the end. If you don't give nothing to the end, or if you give some to the end, the end will give you nothing. The end will give you nothing. And I tell you that it is nothing. What most of those who say that they are to love the end, it is nothing. And what the ulama have today is just like a small part of the ilm at the time of the salah. And what the Ibn Baz used to have, and what people have with the ulama have today, is only a small thing of what Ibn Baz used to have. And as far we go from the time of the Prophet, as we are giving lesser ilm and lesser barakah. Many books today. Many, many books. But where is the barakah? Where is the real help? There is no help. There is no help. Anyway, Sheikh Ibn Hajar was found as a judge for a long period, and about 21 years. And when he became out, he left this position to free himself for teaching and Ali, amongst the ulama, he is one of the highest parts of the ulama. Although he came very late, as you see in the 8th century of the Hijra, but he is right from the time of Imam Ahmad and the time of Bukhari and Nahya. He combines many books, many, many books. The third most famous one is Fath al-Bari. And he has books in Ilm al-Rijal, the narrators. Like Tahdhib al-Tahdhib, Lisan al-Mizan, Ta'dil al-Manfa'a, Taqrib al-Tahdhib, Al-Isar al-Bitarij al-Sahaba, Al-Dur al-Kamila, Fi A'yan al-Mu'at, and many, many other, many other. I cannot count them, but he was one of the very important ulama to the Muslim history. He was, as they say, he was the divert of the history of the knowledge of hadith in the Muslim history. And he died in the 28th of the Hijjah, year 852. Rahimahullah ta'ala, his janazah was very huge. Big number of ulama, and even the ruler, the hakim, the sultan, attended it, and the khalifa was the one who done the salat janazah, and that was by the permission or by the request of the Sheikh of Ibn Hajar al-Bulqini. He was buried in the graveyard called Dailami, near the famous Imam Al-Layth ibn Sa'd. Al-Layth ibn Sa'd of Muhammad, in a place called Al-Qarafa, Al-Sughra. It's well known today in Egypt. And this is a kind of introductory to the book. Inshallah ta'ala, we are going to explain this hadith in the coming Friday. But inshallah now, we're going to have the food as it is on the shelf. Allah.